That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey, I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Emisha Gormley. We're two girls obsessed with one thing,
beauty.
And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful. We're calling on our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions.
With a drink in hand.
Definitely with a drink in hand.
You're listening to Lipstick on the Rim with Molly Sims.
Hi, Miss Molly.
We're going to have such a fun day because you know what, guys? Okay, I'm going to give it to you. I am really, really, really good at saving my money. Emisha is not.
Is not.
Today, we have a great guest on. To lead into this, I just want you guys to know that I'm really, really good at saving my money. Emisha is not. I love Emisha because she's not great at saving money, because the reason why I love her so much is because now I get to know for the past like 15, 17 years what all the things that we shouldn't be spending money on. So she not only is my best friend, but she clues me in on what to spend money on. But she's going to tell a quick story about when she didn't have any money, but she spent all her money, but she couldn't pay rent. So she started selling her handbags, which was smart. You actually turned it into a business.
I made a lot of money, and I still actually sold a bunch of stuff recently. Like when I went to Paris on a girls trip last fall, I was like, you know what? I got a lot of stuff I don't need. And I made like $10,000.
I'm always like, Emisha, how much money do you have?
She's always like, I'm like, we don't talk about it. Mike likes to say that my money is my money and his money is our money.
I like that too. Today we have a very special, we're going to change this, right? We're talking to one of my very good friends, Jesse Draper. We're going to be talking about how to be a badass CEO of your own money. I wrote that. Did you know that?
I love it.
How to save, invest, and make money with your own money.
I mean, I have to say, you know a lot about this.
You know what? I have to say that I came from a really good background where my parents talked about money. We had money. We didn't have money. We had money again. We didn't have money. I have a very good relationship with money. We're going to talk a little bit later about why you should stop saving your money and spend it strategically. Jesse is a fourth generation venture capitalist. She is a badass in every way. You're a mother of three. She literally just had the baby at Cedars, like across the street, like a couple of weeks ago. But yet she is sitting in front of us. And I really appreciate that so much because it's not easy. She has Phoenix 4, Strider 3, and Maverick. He's like,
yeah, so five,
he's still in the hospital.
3 and Maverick's basically still in the hospital. Yeah, 7 weeks.
But you are like, I want to take it back, but she created Halogen Ventures in what year?
2015.
And explain what that is.
So I run Halogen Ventures. So we invest in early stage female founded consumer technologies. So there has to be a woman in the founding team. So you kindly mentioned and introduced me saying I was a fourth generation investor. And it's so funny because I don't even identify that way because I didn't feel like I could
her
go
granddad,
into that.
Her granddad, her dad's brothers, her dad's uncle. Like she comes from like this badass financial family. But what I love about it, you're the girl. You're
the
woman.
And I didn't think, it took me, you know, everyone's path is convoluted, but it really took me a minute to realize that's what I love and that's what I wanted to do. And so I was an entrepreneur before that and an actress before that. And then I started this because I realized, wow, I don't think I can go into venture capital, even though it's all I knew. I'd grown up working at startups and making investments. Like, I'd been referring deals to my family for years, such as Paperless Post and many other companies you've heard of. And then I was like, wait, why am I just sending everyone else? Because I used to be a talk show host. I'm like, why am I sending everyone else?
She is an ultimate connector.
These great deals. And then I started just investing whatever tiny, tiny bits of capital I had. And some of those deals did really well for me. And so we're now investors in companies. I brought you some tea drops today, but Carbon 38, International Athleisure Marketplace, that's partially owned by Foot Locker now. You know, Third Love, I'm trying to think of like who your listeners would know. Quite a few beauty companies, all the way to transportation.
Well, I love what you said. Growing up, I didn't see any women in technology or female CEOs around me. And that's why you created Halogen.
Yeah.
And I love more than anything in this world. You said investing in women isn't a fucking charity. Explain that.
I love that.
I wrote this article almost out of frustration about a year ago. And it was...
It went viral, people.
It got about a million impressions and it blew up. And I really hadn't written anything like that for years. And it kind of surprised me. And I think it's because it hit such a pain point for so many women. So as a woman who runs a female-focused fund... I go and I pitch these investors, high net worth investors, pension funds, et cetera. Molly Sims, who is one of our very valued investors. And
by the way, when I met you, they were like, you've got to meet Jesse Draper. You've got to meet Jesse Draper. Like, because I do. I love business. I love the side of business. I don't actually have a problem talking about money. I'm like, well, how did you do this? How did you get that? What I loved about Jesse was that you said to me, and you're quoted in saying, female-led businesses represent a massive opportunity. With women making up 80% of the household purchasing decisions, we are betting on early-stage female-founded companies with billion-dollar potential. And she goes, I invest in a woman because I'm a woman, and I know that I make pretty much 80% of the decisions for my family.
So why wouldn't we be investing in women, right?
Totally.
Why wouldn't we be investing in women if we're making all the household purchases and really managing the majority of that consumer capital? And so, like, as a female fund manager, you know, I was going out pitching all of these investors. And you do, you know, unfortunately, it's not, you know, equal, and men control the majority of the capital, as we all know. And that's because men pass the pocketbooks down from generation to generation. And as you were saying before, women don't talk about capital. We're actually taught something so much worse. We're taught to give away money. We're taught to give away money before we learn how to manage it and grow it. And so, you know, there is a place for nonprofits. I know we've all given as much as we possibly can this past year, mm-hmm. and we need nonprofits. They solve a lot of problems. But why aren't we investing in the for-profit opportunities that is this trillion-dollar opportunity of female-led businesses, you know, just women at the helm? I was very frustrated pitching my fund around because they look at investing in women as charity, a lot of these investors.
And we're just going to give her a little bit of money. But look, I mean,
yeah.
Look at the money that you raise and look at what you've done with it in the past 3 years.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And we're growing it and we, you know, we invest in these companies and we own a little piece. And then we, you know, hope that we've picked a couple billion-dollar businesses and return our fund many times over. And our founders are incredible, and nothing proved that more to me than during COVID and watching them just
pivot,
navigate and pivot. And I called them all. I did this sort of like round table of as many founders as I could fit on a Zoom call, which at that time was about 50. And I just had everybody go around and I said, here's what we recommend for all of you to do during this time. And they were all so ahead because there's nothing like a woman with 10 backup plans. If nothing else, we are so prepared.
We are so prepared. I have a backup plan for a backup plan for a backup plan. What advice would you give listeners in regards to their own personal finances? You've got a woman, she's out of college, she's starting to get a paycheck. I know your first advice would be, it's okay to talk about money. It's okay to ask for a raise. It's okay to say, I'm a badass and I'm worth it. You know, a lot of employers, they won't tell their employees because they're afraid. Like, I'm the opposite. I'm like, I mean, I know I get sometimes mad at my team, but like, I always tell them, like, you guys are fucking amazing. You make me better. You're smarter than me. You make me be able to do the 900 things I just come up with because I have no boundaries, but you let me be me and you make me smarter. And I think a lot of women, especially when they have other women working for them, is really back your employees. Tell them how great they are. But if they don't, you've got to do it. You have got to be your best voice.
So true. And I have so many pieces of advice. And of course, there's the, you know, save your money. But I would say put it to work. You know, women are so afraid of risk. I can say that because I'm female and we are so afraid of risk, but that makes you a better investor than your significant other. That's a secret just to all the women out there. That means you are a better investor because you take many more risks into account. So you are thinking about all the possible things that could go wrong, but what we could learn from our significant others and just the men in the world that we work with, brothers, fathers, etc., is that, like, that gambling mentality. Like, they just like throw a check in and they're like, "Oh, I'll see what happens," you know? And we need a little more of that because I think it's really important that you're putting your money to work. You're taking risk with your capital. Molly's really good at this. She takes risk with her capital. She's always trying to learn. She's asking me about Bitcoin.
No, literally, my first, everyone, I started to make a little bit of money and I was in my late 20s and everyone was, you know, I was a model. Everyone was buying clothes, wearing, I mean, you made money, you bought clothes. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm just, I don't know. I bought a house in New York and I had to come up with a down payment of $60,000 and I was close. I had like 50 something thousand, but I had to have the $60,000 and I did it and I stressed about it, but I found a way and I did it. I held on to that house in the Hamptons, which Emisha went to, and we had a fucking good time. God,
great time.
We had a great,
wish
had
I was some, there, guys.
We had some great times, but I had it for what? 13 years.
At least
my $60,000 made me probably $1.2 million plus.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
And this is the
and
best
by the way,
lesson.
Memories that I, you know, and listen, and some years I could only go for 2 weeks and I would rent it. I found a family who actually ended up buying it and I would put the property back to work. I rented it to them and then I would come and I would be able to spend 4 weeks. And then once I had my family, I'm like, wait a second, you know, this is, but I put money into it. I did it very simple, traditional, not on trend, just timeless. And that was one of my best purchases.
And that's exactly.
It was also on MTV Cribs, by the way.
It was also
ooh,
on MTV Cribs.
Nice.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Experience all the benefits of an infrared sauna from the comfort of your own home. Higher Dose's portable sauna blanket makes it easy to get hot and high from anywhere. You just lay down inside the blanket, turn up the heat, and sweat it out. You will burn 600 calories in just one sweat session. So it's like working out without having to work out. Infrared therapy supports glowing skin, deeper sleep, and a balanced mood. And as your core temperature heats up, your brain actually releases a dose of happy chemicals, leaving you feeling euphoric after your sweat session. The blanket's deeply penetrating heat instantly boosts blood flow, flooding your body with invaluable benefits like radiant and youthful skin, higher energy, boosted mood, and decreased bloat. This sauna blanket is an amazing and affordable addition to any self-care routine. No need to go to the spa when you can do it from home anytime you want. For those of you who want the experience, the benefits of infrared without the sweat, they also have a really cool infrared mat that recharges your cells to help you feel relaxed, grounded, and rejuvenated. This game-changing mat combines the powerful technology of heated infrared with PIMP plus 20 pounds of healing crystals like amethyst and tourmaline for a relaxing, restorative experience that you feel within minutes. Get your own infrared sauna blanket or infrared PIMP mat today at higherdose.com. You can use promo code LIPSTICK75 at checkout to save $75. Trust me, guys, you are not going to want to miss this. You can do this anywhere, anytime, and you really get a crazy great sweat and detox. That's higherdose.com, promo code LIPSTICK75, or just go to higherdose.com/lipstick to get $75 off today.
I'm Michelle Kwan. In 1996, the world was in the midst of a massive cultural movement that saw women finally taking center stage. Nowhere was this shift more apparent than at the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta.
This audience was the loudest thing I have ever heard in my life.
The noise, everybody's cheering, and we see all these USA flags.
It was the most important summer in women's sports history, and team after team after team, the U.S. women kept winning.
Basketball, soccer, softball, gymnastics.
I just said, give me mine, like, give me mine.
Join me for Dear Media's Summer of Gold, presented by Together. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
But I actually have a question because I think that that's like a very important point that you guys bring up. And I think that, you know, most women, you know, I grew up in a household where my father was very diligent. Like he, you know, never missed a bill payment, never had debt. He was always very good with his money. My mom kind of just like, not that he put her on an allowance, but he was just like, he was the guy that took care of the money. And I kind of grew up with that mentality. And that's probably why I just never had any sense of any money. But how do women change that? Like, how do women feel more empowered with money? Like, what are your tips for women to feel like they can take control of things? Because not, I don't know a lot of Mollies when it comes to finances. Like most of the women I know, especially, you know, I live in the suburbs now. So a lot of the moms I know or women I know are moms. And so motherhood is a job for a lot of them. And it is a job. They don't have nannies. They raise their kids. They have, you know, 2, 3, 4 kids. And that's what they're doing. So what is your advice to women? Like, how can they, A, be more involved, feel more involved, or B, like, make sort of decisions when it comes to finances and feel more empowered?
Well, if you're talking about these women who are in a marriage and, you know, running the home, which is definitely a job, it's the hardest job, you know, just realize half of everything is yours. And so you should be in on every single financial decision.
Can you say that one more time for the listeners out there?
Half of everything is yours in your home. So you should be meeting with the financial advisor anytime your husband is buying new stocks, or if he's saying, oh yeah, I bought some Netflix. You should be like, wait. We didn't talk about this. What do you mean you bought some Netflix? We should be talking about this. I want to know what you're buying, and I may want to buy some shares as well. And I think the more you talk about it, the more you learn. Like, I definitely have those friends about, you know, obviously pre-COVID, I sat down with a bunch of my girlfriends from college. And I think, you know, I'm just like, you know, everyone has a role in their friend group. And I'm the one who's sort of like,
you're the smart friend.
No, not at all.
You're the fucking smart
they're
friend.
They're all very smart. But I'm the annoying one who's like, you guys are setting yourself up for the future, right? Like just checking, you know, just making sure you guys are investing in the stock market. And I said something like that. I said, you know, hey, I just wanted to make sure you guys are invested in the stock market. And it was like I sucked the life out of that room. I mean, they all just shut down and felt so uncomfortable. And I'm used to this now because I realize I talk to so many women. I realize women are afraid to not know. They're afraid to not feel smart in the room. But how are you going to feel smart if you don't take the risk, talk about money, learn what other people are doing? And let me tell you, the dudes have no effing clue. They really don't, you know, and they're throwing their checks into this and that. I mean, you look at this WeWork story and, you know, that was not profitable. That company just like imploded. And I just think about how they just kept raising and raising and raising. And yes, it's like, I guess, a success story in some ways, but it's also, you know, they weren't profitable. Women are more profitable. So I'm telling you, all of the qualities you embody just being female make you a better investor, and we just need to take more risks. So I'd say to them, take more risk, talk about
how much money do you have? Which checking accounts? Did you sign a prenup? And if you did sign a prenup, like, I mean, Jesse can talk also about that. But especially when you're going into a partnership, I don't care. If you're going into a marriage, you have to talk about money. You have to talk about it. What am I bringing into this relationship? What are you bringing into this relationship? Where do you see our money? Where is it growing? What is it doing? What I'm saying is that, you know, being on the same page with your partner is really, really important. It's okay to say, I want my own checking account. Yeah. There's nothing worse than someone said to me the other day. They've been married 25 plus years. She was like, I've always had my own checking account. I'm not privy to the community account. I go, what? What do you mean you're not privy to the community account? When I say a community account, I mean a joint account with your partner. And she's like, no, I've never. He doesn't like me to be involved in that. And I thought to myself, that is so fucking wrong and on so many
there's
levels.
There's so many issues.
And
with
now
that.
They're separating.
Yeah, there you go.
And you don't really know. She doesn't really know how much, where it is. Oh, it just.
That's heartbreaking. And I can't tell you how many times I hear that story.
I know.
And you need, yeah, you should know how much you're saving for college for your kids. You should know, you know, what you're putting away. You should know there's this thing you can gift to the next generation. And you should know about all those decisions. And, you know, your husband shouldn't just be like investing in whatever he feels in the moment. Like he could be blowing all of your money and you don't even know. Mm-hmm. Also, I think it's just I do think there's something to be said about having separate accounts so that no one's like, you know, I'm married to an accountant, so I'm very sensitive to this because when we first got married, he's like, what'd you buy on Amazon? What'd you do this? Like, I'm like, this is too much. You can check
you
in with
like,
me
you
once
sound like
a month.
Mike Gormley.
I mean, my husband had credit card alerts.
Yes.
Credit card alerts.
Oh, this is really a thing. This is a whole thing. Yeah. So he's an accountant. So he was constantly just grilling me. So I do think, you know, you don't want to get in fights about it every single day. So you do need a separate account, figure out the cash you can blow. And that's the sort of like everyone has a different, you know, idea about the 30-30-30, save 30, you know, use 30 for your, and there's different ways to break this down, 30% for your rent and just like the things you have to pay for. And then, you know, take 20-30 and blow it, or that's a little too much, but 30% and invest it, do whatever you want with it every month. And those are things that you should talk to your husband about. You should know exactly what he's purchasing. And especially if you're investing for your future, you're part of that future. I'd hope.
But I
part
think
of that
people
future.
Don't always feel that they're part of that. Does that make sense? They're like, well, he's making the money. It's his money. That is just not true. That is the biggest effing myth out there. It's your money. It's half of I'm taking all your money, Scott. No.
No, I have to say, I don't know if you feel comfortable with me sharing this, but the cool thing about you guys is you invest together.
We do invest
but
together.
They each have their own money, but they invest together. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're always making decisions together, but they each came into the marriage with
and we talk about it. I mean, and sometimes we think, okay, should we try to do this? And he'll be like, okay, let me have a few conversations with people. And then he will come back to me. I love this about him. And he was like, they kind of broke it down in this way. They feel like this emerging is going to be a new emerging market. Like sometimes I'm like, I shake my head I'm like, okay, that sounds amazing. I have no what the fuck clue they're talking about. But I get there but I'm like, Jesse, I ask a lot of questions. And I think that's the one thing. Don't be afraid to ask questions. I remember when I was first making money as a model and I wanted to get like a credit card. I had an American Express that my dad had helped me get. And then, you can get 10% off your first purchase at Neiman Marcus. So I got the Neiman Marcus credit card. And then I got the 5% off at Visa from Barney's. You know, and then finally my account was like, you have two credit cards. This is all. And explain that. Explain the interest alone.
Oh, it's such a scam. You should just, anytime you're signing up for a credit card at a department store or like, you know, I was at Gap or something with my kids the other day. And they're like, would you like to sign up for a card? And now they're becoming privy to it because they're like, this is a discount card. It's not a credit card. I'm like, yeah. I don't want any of it because I fell for that exact same thing.
Of course.
When I was in college, I signed up for the Express like credit card thing and they take a percentage. Even if you're not spending money, you're basically paying them a percentage every month. Or you're paying like, you know, I think for the Express card I had signed up for, I was like paying $15 or $20 a month, even if I didn't spend anything. Mm-hmm. So you should just look at those as a scam. I can't tell you how many arguments I've gotten in with like the department store cashier, and I feel horrible about it. I'm like, is this a day I'm going to talk to them about how this is actually a scam, or is this not a day? Now I kind of like shut my mouth and walk away. But they're, you know, just know that they say it's a credit card, you're paying for another credit card, they are taking interest, the store is making money. This store is looking for every which way to make money. And it's actually a brilliant business model on
it's
their
It's a brilliant
end.
Business model.
But it's
brilliant,
not totally. It's not good for you.
But you know who I hate more than anything right now because they make me spend more money is PayPal. They make it too fucking easy.
Oh, to spend because they take a percentage. But
PayPal, I know. And I fall for it every day. Zara got me. PayPal'd it on up.
so funny. PayPal, I mean, Venmo is starting to do more of that too, which is why you have to do the like friends. This is a transfer between friends.
I think Apple Pay is the easy thing for me.
Yeah, Apple Pay. Apple Pay is great. But they all have a different, you know, they all have to make money too. So I always am like looking at it from the business perspective because I'm like, I'm an investor and I'm like, well, that's a good business model. Like they're charging a percentage because at a certain point as an investor, you're looking at the company being like, how are they making money? And so they do have to take a chunk of every transaction. But you do have to be careful with those because as they get bigger or if they're for business expenses, I mean, I'm curious what's going to happen with Venmo because everyone sends so much cash through Venmo. And I feel like at some point someone's going to come. I mean, I pay my, you know, dog walker, our kid's swim teacher. I pay everybody through Venmo. And at some point they're going to come kind of like. Yeah. Taxes is going to kind of get them. I think it already is.
Okay, you guys, we're going to take a quick break. Now, you guys have heard me talk about this company before because I'm extremely obsessed if you're new here. So just make sure and listen up. I went plant-based earlier this year because I may have gotten a bit of mercury poisoning from eating too much fish and tuna. Yes, it's true. I did. So I was introduced to Sakara, a nutrition company that focuses on overall wellness, starting with what you eat. And it's not your average nutrition company where the veggie burgers taste like cardboard. With Sakara, you get nutritious meals that nourish your body without sacrificing taste. Their meals are beyond delicious and always come with variety, which is so, so important. Along with delicious plant-rich meals, Sakara also offers daily wellness essentials like supplements and herbal teas to support your nutrition. Experience their best-selling Metabolism Super Powder and Metabolism Super Bar to control sugar cravings, reduce bloating, boost energy, and reduce fatigue. I mean, who doesn't want that? Right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/lipstick or enter code lipstick at checkout. That's Sakara, sakara.com/lipstick to get 20% off your first order. Sakara.com/lipstick.
I have a question because, again, you know, Molly is, again, much better about money and investing and everything. So, like, give me, you know, the investing for dummies 101. So, say I am Emma Shigormley and I'm going to take, you know, a paycheck of mine and go, I am going to take this entire paycheck and I want to buy stocks. What would be like the three things to look for? What would I do? How would I do it if I were to?
To buy a stock.
Have a sum of money, whatever it is, say, you know, $10,000 or $5,000 or $1,000, whatever it is. And I'm just going to go and I'm going to take that money and invest it for the first time in my life. What would that look like?
So I'm going to tell you a story about when I was a little kid. And I'm so grateful to my dad because he was like, how do I explain? I was about 12. And he was sort of thinking, how do I explain business to my daughter? And he said, what are you into right now? And I said, you know, like any 10, 12-year-old girl, I was like, Barbie, like back then, Barbie. He's like, okay, Mattel owns Barbie, so we're not going to buy you a Barbie. We're going to buy you a share of Mattel. And granted, God, they're not doing as well now, but I still have that share framed on my wall in my office because it reminds me like that's how people should invest. And especially women, you can, one, make a significant change by investing your dollars into things that you believe in and you use all the time and you are a consumer of. And so realize that your money actually like can move the market. It can, you know, help the brands you love and, you know, the people behind the brands you love. And so, you know, a good example is Starbucks. Like you buy Starbucks every day. Why wouldn't you buy a Starbucks as a stock, you know? And if you don't know what a public, like, I think what we should go through is like, there's public investing and there's private market investing.
Will you explain the difference?
Yeah. And I run a venture fund. So we're in the private market, meaning we're before everybody can buy a share. We own a percentage of many companies while they're in the private market. Once they enter the public market, that's when you hear about an IPO or an initial public offering. You hear about NASDAQ and all of the New York Stock Exchange, et cetera. And you can go buy shares of publicly traded companies. I think where people get concerned and a lot of women I talk to is they're like, well, I don't know what stocks to buy. So you need to figure out what your risk appetite is and how much you have to spend. But what I would say is, okay, Starbucks is a publicly traded stock. Amazon is a publicly traded stock. So in the beginning, of COVID, I was like, I'm going to think about the stock market right now. Like, what should I be changing? And I had a conversation with
my
husband.
What are you starting to use? I said Zoom. I'm like, why didn't I do Zoom?
So we bought Zoom. We bought Amazon. And we bought Starbucks once we started seeing people were still going to Starbucks. And I was like, wow, people still go out to get their coffee.
You know what I did?
This is crazy.
I did something fun. When Disney plummeted.
Oh, yes.
I bought Disney.
And so that is a really great lesson because you want to buy low, sell high, obviously. But when I was thinking, oh, in the beginning of COVID, like people are going to use Amazon more because people aren't leaving their houses. I bought and it's, you know, it's tripled or something since I bought my shares of Amazon. So I think it's important to
think. And even though if you look at Amazon, you're like, I'm not going to buy that at how many thousands of dollars of share. But it's the need.
Yeah. And you don't have to buy the whole. I think people always think like you have to buy the whole share. Like you can just say, I want to put $50 in Amazon. And you can do that. I think people get concerned about that with Bitcoin, et cetera, too. And cryptocurrency. Because you know what? Your buy low, sell high is such a good lesson. Just that's what you want to do.
I just know that Disney will come back.
Yeah. And
their
it is.
Platform
yeah.
is coming great. Back. Their cruises will come back. Their parks will come back. That is going to not only be a want, but a need.
Totally.
And I'm like, we're doing it.
You know, I'm a big proponent of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency.
You scare me.
I know, I scare her. But, you know, I bought it around 7,000. I bought a whole bunch more when it was around 7,000. And it's similar
to
a share.
Okay, explain to our listeners what a Bitcoin, what is cryptocurrency, first of all?
Okay, so here's the easiest way that like when my dad and my brothers and I talk about it, the easiest way to explain it is what email did for the internet in financial form. So this is a new digital currency. It's easier to send. You can send it internationally.
Easier to track.
It's easier to track. So everyone's like, you know, you hear these sort of rumors that, but people are buying drugs on it. That was a long time ago. And now it's the stupidest thing you could do is buy drugs on it because they know exactly where it started and exactly where it ends. And it's much more traceable and it's fantastic. And so I'm obviously a big believer. There are many of these cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin's the most popular. Ethereum's the second most popular. But around 7,000, I remember talking to my friends, this same friend group that I'm the annoying friend to, like, we're having dinner. And I'm like, so let's talk about cryptocurrency. And I brought it up to them. Then recently, it's gone kind of up and down recently, but a couple of months ago, Bitcoin hit 55,000. And that's when literally every friend in the world was texting me like, should I buy Bitcoin? Should I buy Bitcoin? And I'm like, no. This is the highest it's ever been. Wait, like, why were you listening to me back then?
Like, why weren't you listening to me when I was telling you at 7?
Yeah. And I was like, this is kind of a cool thing. It's going to like change how we transact. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then that's when I started saying, if you really want to like dig into something, get some Ethereum because it's much more affordable. There's much more of it. And then that Ethereum's on its way up now too, because I think people are, you know, they announced actually yesterday, El Salvador. Now this is going to become a national currency of El Salvador. Bitcoin is
really?
Yes, they announced it yesterday. So I think things are changing. Mm-hmm. And just to bring it back to the investing lesson, these are all different ways you can invest your money, but take some risk with it because that's what all the guys are doing. And you should be involved in every single conversation that your significant other is having. But in order to set yourself up for success in the future, I don't care if it's $100, $1,000 you're putting away, $10,000, think about it as like you want some public investments. If you have enough capital, you might have a good appetite for risk and be able to do some private market investments like in an investment fund like ours, like Molly's an investor, or in you're an angel investor. That's all private investing. Much more risky because these companies are less proven. So you do kind of want an expert alongside you. And then there's other ways to diversify when you think about real estate, invest in a home. All of that is real estate. And then there's cryptocurrency.
I think real estate is, you know, I know.
It's a very stable investment, always.
You know, and not only is it stable, you're also making memories at the time. Like I do think if you, listen, you can, as a stock, you can buy it too high, but you can't, I think sometimes it's very difficult with real estate and with the stock market to time the market.
Yeah.
Because there's always going to be, well, it could go up or it could go down. I think you also, again, you just have to have a little bit of a risk. What's your number one investing tip?
I would say just realize that where your dollars go can actually make change. So we invest in early stage female founded companies. And that's because I wanted women to control more the wealth in the future. And the way I think about that is if I give a female CEO starting her company a dollar to build her business and I own a piece of that business, then she sells that business for $1 billion and she is able to invest all of that back into the ecosystem. So we're actually helping solve that wealth gap. So I would say just, you know, figure out what kind of moves you and what you want to change in the world and invest that way.
I love that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I am so excited to tell you guys about a brand I recently discovered called Osea. It's really hard to find products these days that are not only good for your skin, but the planet too, that actually give you results. Osea has been making products that do just that, honestly, for over 25 years. They're the pioneer when it comes to clean beauty. And I mean, can we talk about how chic their packaging is? Okay, I know, I digress. They have award-winning cleansers, serums, and face moisturizers. They've really been known for their amazing body products, like their famous Andaria Algae Body Oil. Honestly, I don't take care of my body enough, which I should, like I do my face. And this is the most luxurious body oil I have used in a long, long time. It feels luxurious, rich, not greasy or sticky, and really does absorb into the skin. Experience your new favorite clean skincare line with a special discount just for our listeners. Get 10% off your first order with promo code LIPSTICK at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order, and orders over $50 get free shipping. You're going to want it all. Trust me. Go to OseaMalibu.com. Use code LIPSTICK. Get 10% off your first order with promo code LIPSTICK at OseaMalibu.com.
All right, let's talk prenups. I know a lot of women, I know, but that this is what people wanted to talk about. I know a lot of women will sign papers because it sounds good, especially those terms when you're 20s, they're dying to get married. They're in love with that person. They're like, this is going to be this way forever, which hopefully it will be. But then 3, 4 kids happen, divorce happens, separation happens, someone getting sick, someone dying happens. What advice would you give someone entering a new marriage in regards to a prenup?
I think just be really smart about it. What you've built to this moment is yours. It's yours, and you can sign a prenup and, you know, put it all away. And then you need to decide what is going into that community fund, as you were mentioning before. You know, I think my husband and I have earned each other's trust more and more, you know, through the years, where what's mine is his. There's also other ways of setting it up. I know the paperwork is, it's always like in every movie and in every television show, the paperwork is like the big stress moment when everyone's signing the paperwork. You can also set it all up and put it in a trust. And so if you put it in a trust, you know, that you control, then they can't touch it as well.
A couple of friends of mine, they've been married 20 plus years. They're now divorced. And the prenups that they signed, it's just insane.
Oh, yeah.
And even though they've been together for the past 20 years and you think it's community.
Right.
But not if you sign the prenup.
I mean, it's interesting because you should think about it in some ways how my founders think about it. We've had a few co-founder fallouts where you have, you know, 2 or 3 founders. And I always say, let's negotiate the worst possible scenario today
Let's negotiate the divorce.
Yeah. Let's negotiate the divorce now. Like, what are they going to make? What is each of you going to make if you part ways? How is that going to work? What, you know, what's the equity? What if you have the biggest, like, balls to the wall fight? How's that going to go down? And I just can't even tell you how many times it does go down with co-founders. And it's such a complicated thing to navigate. And I'm so grateful when we approach it like a prenup, but they're very similar. It's a business relationship.
It's a business relationship.
Yeah.
What's something that's non-negotiable in a prenup to protect women or men?
Or men.
Know what you're signing.
Know what you're signing. I think just knowing what you have, what you're bringing to the table, what you've made to that moment, capital-wise, like what investments you've made, that's all yours.
And also where you see the two of you together after, you know, some, he might be like, okay, you'll get, when, you know, we're divorced, you'll get 20%.
Yeah. Or I've seen salaries where, like, someone, you know, the wife will say, you know, I'm giving my whole life and body to this marriage. I'm having three kids. I'm raising our kids. I'm going to stop working. I want to make sure that if we get divorced, I get paid $200,000 a year for, you know, the rest of our lives or whatever mm-hmm. it is. I've seen things like that. So, you know, it's something you really need to talk about. And
those conversations are awful and they're so hard, but they're also... You feel good about them as well. Like when I talk business, like even Imish and I doing the podcast, I'm like, okay, here's what it's going to be. What do you want? And she's like, okay, here's what I want. You know, again, if we break up, we have a breakup, you know, contract and that's okay. But we've talked about it. We've talked about money. We've talked about a contract. And that's the best advice I can give someone is it's okay to ask questions. Talk about it. Go to the negotiation and try to get as much as you can possibly get.
Yeah. Yeah, because you'd rather negotiate that, you know, in the beginning, assuming it's never going to happen, because when it does, it's just the most painful thing of
all
time.
It's awful.
But yeah, so I'd say just know what you have going into it and be empowered in that, like, you made this money and you made these investments and you can protect those.
Mm-hmm. And be a badass mom at the same time. All right, we wouldn't be a podcast about beauty if we didn't talk a little bit about beauty.
Oh, please.
Your skin is flawless. You just had a baby. She sits on like the board of like Goldman. I mean, she's like, she like presents to board. I mean, boards, trust me. She has to walk in like a badass and she's a badass. What, do you love beauty? You do love beauty.
I love beauty. I feel like whenever I see Molly, I'm like, oh, like, please tell me everything. I do love beauty.
What's your favorite skincare?
And we invest in beauty.
I know.
We have a company called Tinted.
Tell them about Tinted. I like Tinted.
Tinted is fantastic. It's run by Deepika, who is a huge beauty influencer, and she's really focused on building her brand in the East Asian market. So she's very focused on India, and she started this incredible product that is the Hue Stick, where she uses it under her eyes. She just was frustrated when she was an Indian girl growing up. So because she didn't have any makeup that worked with her skin. So she started this Hue Stick that was non-toxic that she could put under her eyes and then have flawless foundation covered skin.
And so it's called Tinted.
It's called Tinted.
Yeah, I like Tinted. I love the story.
Yes. And she's incredible. And she's building. She used to be she was at Birchbox and she realized that she was building out their whole influencer strategy and then just started her own company. And so she's been launching products left and right, but also there's no real beauty company focused on, you know, skin of all colors.
What's your favorite moisturizer?
Okay, so La Mer, I love. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I'm the person who uses like Neutrogena face wash.
Yeah, but this is what, so do we. We love a high-low. Yeah,
and then
we love a high-low.
La Mer.
Because that's real.
Yeah, it's real. And then I love Super Goop is sort of the sunscreen I use because it's thin and I can like mix it with any
foundation. Have you tried the glow screen?
No.
Oh, you have to get the glow screen and the glow body, but don't look at Ashley. It is a little glittery just on the eggs. She wasn't expecting it, so it's fine.
You look beautiful. What are you talking about?
No, she was like, it's a lotion that's got a little sparkle in it. But it's really good and it's a great SPF.
I need lotion with like a little sparkle.
Yeah, that's called the glow screen. It's got a little luminescence.
Well, and then you got me into Georgia Louise, who does these incredible facials and like changed my life. And I didn't know a facial could be like that. I didn't know my skin could be like that. I need to see her soon, actually.
Yeah, Georgia, I'm actually seeing her next week. I actually booked in New York 3 months from now. She had like 5 appointments left. I'm like, I need one.
She's impossible to get in with, but she's so lovely.
She's so good. They have a great sleeping oil, like a ritual sleeping oil that I'm obsessed with by her. Your hair is beautiful. What do you like? What do you use?
I kind of mix it up. Biolage when I need to like really get everything out of it.
Right.
And then I use Kevin Murphy shampoo, which is sort of my like high end because I realize my hair, when I used to travel every day, it felt like now I haven't traveled really in a year. It just kind of like helped keep the moisture because I felt like I was always on a plane. But then I have like the L'Oreal, you know, whatever it is, the green bottle when I just know I need to grab something and go at the store.
I love that. We're going to do a little rapid fire because that's what we do here. Em, you want to start?
I will start. Do you have a morning routine?
I mean, right now it changes because I have a 7-week-old child. So
there is no routine.
There is, but I do, what do? I wake up, I make breakfast for the kids. That's the time I spend with my kids. So from 6 to 8 a.m., my kids, I wish they would wake up later, but they wake up at 5:45 or 6. Ugh. No matter what I do, I keep them up late. I do everything. If you have tips, please send them to me.
I'm in the same boat as you.
Lily.
Same boat.
Lily doesn't like to sleep past like 5:55.
Oh my God.
She has a problem with the number 6.
I did the worst
thing. That's her 2-year-old.
I put a hook and eye lock on the outside of my 3-year-old's door. And I was like, I just need to keep him in there just for a little bit longer in the mornings. And it turned into like, he just like breaks down the house, basically. He's just like, let me out. Don't lock my door. And it's actually the worst way to wake up. So that didn't work at all.
Well, I just get a sound machine. I actually got a sound machine so I can't hear her when she's screaming, Mama.
Oh, a sound machine for me. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I got a sound machine for me.
Yeah, she got one for her. You thought it was for Lily. No, it was for her.
Lily has one and now I have one.
Are you a morning person or a night person?
I am definitely a morning person. I like to like get up, make the kids food, you know, take out the dog, have my coffee, feel like I had a morning. And I can't wait to get the workout back into the morning routine because that just makes me feel like whole. But I just don't have time right now.
Biggest pet peeve?
Oh my God. I feel like this is a cop out, but like what my husband constantly being on his phone around the kids.
I like that.
I feel like that's all I can think of right now.
I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah. I'm probably guilty of that myself sometimes. Tell me the first thing that comes to your mind when I say this word, money.
Women need more of it.
Did you ever think you would be speaking as a 40-year-old woman on massive financial boards? Like, I'm like, do you get nervous? This is not a rapid fire. This is, I'm going to put it back in.
I don't know. I think I always thought I would be doing something in technology. But I love going to the boardroom, doing the board meetings. I feel like I'm the person
who likes to
spice
it up. Your acting background helps, you know, being able to talk in front of people, being able to own it, being able to, you know, spit it out, regurgitate it, and be like, you're going to buy this pitch, boo.
Totally. We had a really tough board meeting last week with a couple of my team members, and I was like, we need to rehearse this. I'm like, I'm going to bring it back to my acting roots because we need to rehearse this. This is scary, and we need to rehearse it.
How'd you do?
We did great. It went great, went as easily as it could have gone.
Sometimes you've got to rehearse. It's okay to rehearse.
Yeah, especially when you're like, you know, firing someone or you're, you know, whatever it may have been.
What's your go-to cocktail?
Oh my God, I'm like, I love margaritas. So I do the Casamigos tequila, LaCroix soda water, and then sometimes one, sometimes two limes, depending. And then I'll do like a little agave sometimes.
If you had a superpower, what would it be?
To stop time, because I feel like I can never get enough done. And, you know, there was that show years ago, oh my God, Out of This World. Do you guys remember this? Out of This World. Mm-mm. And she would like put her fingers together. She'd like touch her fingers together and and time would stop. I always was like, and then she'd like take her math test or whatever. I always wanted that. My whole life I've wanted that. So I don't know. Maybe I'll find the company that does that.
What advice would you give the Jesse Draper 10-year-old self?
Be confident. I was such a quiet, insecure girl. And then even like going into acting, I think, you know, you focus on all the things like staying super skinny all the time. And I felt like my value was like depleted when I was an actress because I was like so focused on my looks and things like that. And I think I'd say you're smart and people will love you however you look.
Yes, they will. You are a badass. Everyone follow Jesse Draper. She has an incredible fund, Halogen Ventures. How did you come up with Halogen?
Halogen is because halogen is literally means salt producing. And I like the idea that women and entrepreneurs are the salt of the earth.
And yes, we are. You're the best. Talk about money. There's an old saying, you've got to spend money to make money.
Yes.
Isn't that right, Jesse Draper?
It's so true. And you need to invest money to make money too.
And you need to invest money to make money. You're the best.
Take risks.
Take risks.
Take risks.
I am so glad you left Maverick at Cedars to come over and do this podcast. You literally just had a baby. So
I literally
you.
Just had a baby. I actually had the baby at St. John's.
St. John's.
It was an emergency C-section, which was my first of three. And let me just tell you, that was real. But he's here and we're alive. And I have three little boys, which
it's
I
amazing.
Can't believe it.
She has three little girls.
I have three little girls.
Emergency C, that's awful.
You have three girls? Okay, well, we'll have to set them all up.
And you have to, Cirabelli, her company is incredible. It's she runs a startup.
I mean, know, you're literally in the startup world.
Yep, she is.
So you are investing.
Smart and pretty. See?
Just can't save a buck to save her
life. It's all right. All right. You guys, that is a wrap of this week's episode of Lipstick on the Rim. Be sure to tune in next week. You guys are going to be obsessed. Who do we have on? It's always someone great. I never want these podcasts to end. Like, I really do. Like, I love talking to our guests. You've been amazing. Like, literally, I love finding out answers and asking questions, and I love really diving deep. And that's why, Jesse, you're just a wealth of information. You really are.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm going to attempt to
put some money to work.
She's going
to
save some money.
Oh my gosh.
Then don't send me the shoes that you're going to send me in like 5 minutes. I'm going to text me like, I think I need them.
The best part of this is that, you know, I'm going to call, like, after every podcast, I actually do call Molly. I'm like,
she does. Hey, she calls me on the way home. And then she'll say something and she's like, hey, did you see those shoes? I'm like, we just had a podcast. I just talked to you for 3 fucking hours. This is what we do.
About money. About investing money.
Money, clothes, makeup, beauty. Oh my God.
That's fun though.
This is the best. It's literally, this is why we do Lipstick on the Rim. It's like girl talk therapy.
No, I love it. And I love what you're doing. You're empowering so many women, both of you. And I really keep doing that because there can't be enough women empowering women. We need so many more. We need them to have a, you know, place to promote whatever they're doing. For so long, it was a man's world.
And also be the CEO of your own life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really good. I just came up with that.
So I love it.
Be the CEO of your own life. All right, you guys. We can just like sit here and talk forever. So I'm going to rewrap it for like the third time. Goodbye.
All right. Bye, guys. Jesse, it was so nice to finally meet you.
It was so nice to meet you too. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for listening to Lipstick on the Rim with Molly Sims and my ride or die, Emisha Gormley. We are so excited to bring you guys along on this journey. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Lipstick on the Rim and Molly B. Sims, or my website where you can dive just a little bit deeper into my favorite products, trends, and more at mollysims.com. This podcast is a production with Dear Media. Wanted to give a special thanks to my team, Ashley Gasparian, Schaefer Carrillo, Ashley Sanchez, and Michelle Harrison, and everyone at Dear Media. Don't forget to listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss out on the fun.